The unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m. And time for So What's Your Story, the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, along with Jacob Reiner, working the boards. World War One. The Great War officially ended when the Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919. For France, however, fighting ceased 7 months earlier when an armistice between the Allies and Germany went into effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. For that reason, November 11, 1918 is generally regarded as the end of war to end all wars. In November 1919, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day, asserting that this day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died serving our country. And those who served are indeed special. Well, Jacob rounded up a couple of special young men. They're special because their lives took them on journeys most of us could never fathom, except for the millions before them who thought the same about their inevitable destinations. Chadwick and Sam, both students at UHD, are men with dreams and fears and desires and needs just like any of us. But these two men are also extraordinary for the same reason storytellers exist, because they have a story to tell. And they tell them for the same reason they eat or sleep, because they have to. For most of his service time, Chadwick Jones, deployed in Afghanistan, was a medic in the 1st Armored Division. He's majoring in political science and planning to graduate in May. Samuel Swift is a Marine and a powerlifter, a menacing combination to be sure, and he too is a senior, and his major is Enterprise Information System. Let's find out a little bit about him. Welcome, guys. So you were not nervous until just now.
Yeah, not until
The two guys sitting next to me are the largest men God ever created. One's about 7'6", the other one, I'm exaggerating a little bit to make a point, and they're chicken, they're nervous, and I like seeing that, because it makes you vulnerable.
I mean, we have faces made for radio, so...
Yeah, you really do. You have faces made for radio, man. I love it. He's got a great sense of humor. The medications are kicking in, and you're going to be just absolutely fine. How did it feel to be ambushed by Jacob to tell you we need you on the show?
What
did you think?
I actually asked for this.
Did you really ask for this?
Yeah, he came in. I'm the vice president of our student veterans organization. Mm-hmm. And he was looking for volunteers, guys to write papers to get on. And I was like, well, no one else wants it. I'll take it.
Hey, great. What about you? Were you a little, what would you think? Radio? What's that all about?
Well, definitely.
But you know, this is being broadcast internationally. It's being broadcast.
Oh, internationally.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it's a big show in Kenya.
So I'm definitely famous now, right?
Very definitely. Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay.
Well, there was that thing you did on the internet.
Right. But I think six people are hearing this, but that's okay. Actually, we have a good listening audience. But you felt a little uncomfortable?
I was just a little bit nervous at first, but I like to spin a good yarn, so, I mean, why not come in here and do that, too?
Well, let's start with you. Let's ask some simple questions. How much can you lift?
So far, my PRs have been a 705 squat, a 450 bench, and a 513 deadlift.
That's like Olympic numbers, man.
No, not really.
No, I'm exaggerating.
It's still weird to me, though, that his deadlift is less than a squat.
Well,
you guys know what that means. No one else really does, but that's okay. It sounds so incredible, but that's a hell of a sport. How's UHD doing in the world of powerlifting? They've got a good team.
They've got an amazing team. Yeah. Some of the lifters that have been graduating are still sticking around and helping out with the team members that are still students. Yeah. For the size of the team, they have a little bit of trouble because they're going against schools that have much larger teams, so they have a bigger roster. Yeah. But for the size of the team that they have, they go out and they still win awards and they still get high places in rankings and competitions.
Gator pride, right?
Yes, sir.
Gator pride, UHD Gators. Listen, you're majoring in enterprise information. I've been at UHD for 32 years, and I haven't the foggiest idea what that is. So tell us.
Yes, tell me.
Tell them.
Well, it used to be labeled as a computer information systems. Basically, it is a degree in the IT field. Mm-hmm. So it's in the corporate version of IT.
Yeah. What do you plan on doing with that?
Well, currently, I actually work as an IT operative at UHD.
Yeah, and you guys are great. And I told you that the other day. That's no kidding.
Yes, sir.
What are some of the things you do in your job?
People break stuff, and I take it apart and fix it and put it back together.
Okay. All right.
Okay. It happens a lot. Right.
Very good. That's what you want to do for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah. How come they didn't call it IT or information services before? Why change it to enterprise something or another? It sounds like a rental car.
Because I think to differentiate it from the science department, because computer science is a big component at UHD.
Yeah, I
understand. And this enterprise information systems is a business degree.
It's all a business, man. It's all a business. Chadwick, you're an Army vet deployed in Afghanistan. What were your thoughts when you first learned that you were headed to Afghanistan?
Don't die.
Yeah, serious question, though. No kidding. What were you thinking?
That was my honest. Yeah. That was my honest life.
You had to have a lot of fears, right? I didn't worry about anybody you wouldn't.
Well, my big thing is I was a medic, and I didn't know who I was actually going to be attached to. Mm-hmm. I didn't know which platoon, which company, and all that, so it made things really weird because I hadn't been embedded yet at that point.
Yeah,
I didn't actually link up with my platoon until we'd already been over there.
Yeah,
so it was weird getting to know a new group of guys and all that stuff while like actively being in firefights.
It has
its problems.
Intense. You have a story that you want to tell, and before you do, tell us a little bit about what you want us to get from it. The story you're about to tell.
Well, my big thing is. It's a question I'm asked a lot. It's, how are things different? And I don't know about other people, but I know the two big differences for me, or when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to be anywhere at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have punishment for being late other than, trouble with classes. And it's something I've written about before.
Yeah.
It's, if I mess up today, it's not going to kill anybody.
No. Let's hear your story. This is going to be great.
All right. Like you said, I was a medic. I came in the middle of 2008. I was delayed entry. I signed my contract, then got to sit back and wait to graduate high school and do a few other things before I actually shipped off for basic and AIT. And I did pretty well when it came to any of the schools I was in. I joined the Army for most other people, I joined for a girl who I haven't talked to in a few years now. But the big story I have is... As a medic, I mean, I actually wrote one down, but I can't do that one right now. So, I spent a fair amount of time in Afghanistan, couple different units and subunits, stuff like that. The hard thing that is for me equating over is, like I said, if I mess up, no one's going to die today. I mean, with the exception of me taking my car off the highway or something, I don't have to worry about, looking at a group of guys and thinking, which one, how will I do it? And stuff like that. On the way over here, there was a guy riding in my truck with me because the Metro lift for handicaps didn't come pick him up, so I drove him home. And turned out that one of the guys I treated was his platoon sergeant at a different time. And I realized I didn't remember his name, but I remembered his injuries. I could tell you where on the leg the tourniquets went. I can tell you which arm, what the injury on the face looked like. And he wasn't even part of my unit. He was just some guys attached to us when we needed some engineers. And it was strange for me. But the main story I have to tell is a story about a difference in populations. The people I've treated, most of them now are just different injuries I had. Guy shot in the head, dude in the neck, got another guy in the leg, stuff like that. The only one that really gets to me, and I actually carry the pictures around on my thumb drive, is a little girl who was held in a fire by her father. And since we weren't the ones who caused the injury, we weren't allowed to evac her. So every day, for a couple weeks, this girl's brought into our aid station in this little bitty outpost in the middle of the mountains. And every day, we had to clean her wounds, band her up the best we could, and... try to keep her alive without painkillers because she was too small for me to use an auto injector on. And after a couple weeks, we didn't see her anymore. I don't know whether I can't confirm whether or not she died. We were told she died by some people. Other people said she didn't. And that's the one that still gets to me.
Wow. That's a great story. Have you told that story before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but normally I'm doing it with pictures to show.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But, you know, you may have pictures, but, you know, you were painting verbal pictures with that. And I was watching you as you tell the story. And how do you feel when you revisit the details in this story? What are you thinking about as you're revisiting the details? I thought it was fascinating that you said you don't remember his face, but you remember his injuries. What are the things you're thinking about as you go through that story?
Well, when it comes to the girl, I remember my hand being as wide as her back was. Yeah. I could lay my hand across her back. One of the pictures we have is literally about 3 inches above her hips, her on all fours while we were scrubbing her butt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My hand reaching completely across her back from point to point.
Wow.
And I just remember going, who could do this to a little kid?
Yeah.
And you find out later that, the most likely person to do it was actually her father. It really... Mm. Changes some things and changes the way you look at people.
Wow. Mm. I'm Hank Rubicek with Jacob Reiner, and you are listening to What's Your Story with guest storyteller Samuel Swift and Chadwick Jones on this Veterans Day special only on listener sponsor 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. Samuel, your story centers on vets and needing to be seen like everyone else, right? If I'm capturing that,
yes,
pretty
sir.
Much the same. And it's a similar theme, but yet different enough where we really have to talk about this. It sounds simple, but it's really complex. I've had friends in the service. I've had relatives killed in Vietnam. I think about this a lot because there is some sort of delineation between vets and others. It's a mythical one. It's a ridiculous one. And your story deals with that. But before telling us a story, give us just a few words that describe how you'd like us to feel as we hear the story.
See, I would hope that you would learn and feel that people are people, no matter their occupation, no matter what they do, no matter what they've done.
Right.
And vets are people just like anyone else.
Yeah.
And they've given up things and they've gone through things that other people, that normal people don't. But in the end of the day, they're still people.
Yeah. Tell us your story.
So actually, while I was going through basic training, the first one that hit me was live fire exercise on the firing range. A recruit got a letter from his girlfriend telling him that she was leaving him, dumping him, cheating on him. He ended up blowing his brains out with an M16 on the firing range because he was depressed because his girlfriend left him. Just like so many other people do, like you get depressed, you get sad. But the thing about vets is that we've been trained to do things and we've been trained to respond in specific situations with specific actions. There's May 21st of this year. There was an event in Ohio, and some civilian came up to the Marine recruiting booth and spit in the faces of two of the recruiters. I think about 2 weeks ago in North Carolina, if I remember correctly, a Marine in dress blues was holding the door open for someone to walk through, and they spit on his chest.
Wow.
So the thing is that military personnel, we've given up things that normal people don't have to give up. We've gone through extra training. We're exposed to things that normal people don't see. The military has always been that stop guard to prevent an attack to your own country, to your own people. And without the military being there, we're defenseless. Even in this day and age where everything is long range, missiles, rifles, anything else, you still have to have a military that can be there to protect your back. Because if you don't, you never know what's going to happen. Military personnel is really big in social media this last year about 4th of July. So celebrating the independence of your own country. And they have to post signs in their yards asking their neighbors and their people that live near them, please don't light fireworks. Mm-hmm. I have PTSD. I can't handle the explosions. So it's a celebration of our own independence, and it's something that in the military, like, yeah, we are an amazing country, but you can't even partake in that because of what you've been through, what you've seen, what you've heard. Depression, suicide, drug use, self-medication, alcoholism. We're military personnel. We're not perfect. Perfectly imperfect. We're the same as any other person, but night terrors and PTSD, night sweats, and those are the ones that come back physically whole. The ones that don't come back physically whole, you've got artificial limbs, you've got phantom limb syndrome, you've got so many other things that affect people, and some of it's visual, you can see their disabilities, and some of it's not. And we're just people like everybody else. Yeah. But we put forth that effort to do something that not many people do.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you something, and sometimes I say this. I say this a lot when people are on here. I say, you know, you're really good storytellers. I'll say that. And I mean it. But you guys are genuinely great storytellers, and that's no, I'm not kidding you. And I don't I don't say that real often. I say good storytelling, but you guys are great storytellers. The kind of pacing and the kind of rhythm, the kind of cadence, you know, you're telling stories that only you can tell. You've got the sense of ownership with your stories. You give yourself permission to tell the stories. Does that make sense? You're seeing images that other people can't see, and you're crystallizing them on the mic and in front of us. And it's a pretty intimate, and it's a pretty awesome experience, I have to tell you. How do you feel telling this story? Let me ask you the same question I asked Chadwick. How do you feel telling this story? Recreating it in your mind.
It was never anything that happened to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to keep myself removed from anything that was done to me.
Yeah.
But I still have insomnia. I take enough Benadryl every night to put an entire household to sleep, and some nights I still don't sleep.
Yeah.
But that's just something I live with now. I mean, I was lucky enough. I don't have PTSD. I don't have any physical disabilities. I don't have anything else, but it's just,
if you're not sleeping, bro, you probably do have PTSD. Insomnia is one of the main symptoms.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, man, I got to tell you, that is unbelievable. Jacob, you know, you just heard a couple of stories shared by your friends. You did a great job getting these guys. You really did. But what kind of thoughts come to mind to you? You're a vet. What kind of thoughts come to mind? Questions that need to be asked or answers that must be given after listening to these stories? What are your, what chime in on this. What do you think?
Well, right now, the military, the DOD is having a big issue. For instance, on Fort Carson in Colorado, when people are coming to the doctors for mental issues because of the downsizing of the military, instead of taking care of the soldier, they're undermining what the soldier's going through, and then the soldier gets in trouble, DUI or a fight at a bar, and they automatically get kicked out.
Right.
Instead of getting the help. And that's the problem right now, is now that we understand PTSD, the problem now is they don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
The military wants us to go to war, but they don't want to pay for repairing us when we come back.
Right, right. You were telling me a story the other day about a guy who wanted to buy you a drink at the bar.
Yes, he was.
Tell us about that. I want people to hear the story.
I was in a Joe's Crab Shack in Colorado Springs.
Yep.
And this gentleman, we got talking, and he was a Vietnam vet. And he bought me a beer, and he went back to his table. He was sitting at a table with five. I knew the bartender very well, so I said, buy the whole table on me. He came, the gentleman, the Vietnam vet, came up to me afterwards and said, I bought you a beer. Why'd you buy me a drink? I said, if it wasn't for you coming back from Vietnam, being spit on, trash talked, we wouldn't get the respect that we actually do today.
Yeah, that's a great story. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I love
Absolutely.
That story, and I really wanted you to tell that. Yeah, that is unbelievable. Let's just shift gears, do a little announcing here. You know, we're going to shift gears next week with a couple of my students who are really exceptional storytellers. Their names are Precious Awaga and Lydia Jackson. They're going to take us on a fanciful frolic through their favorite folktales. How's that for a little alliteration for you? Right here on 90.1 KPFT Houston, corporate free Pacifica Radio. And all of you can tap into your storytelling skill sets both telling and listening by joining the Houston Storytellers Guild. Hands down, the best story group around, in fact, in the state, and it's also our proud sponsor. Jacob, why don't you tell everyone the when and the where, please?
Well, their monthly story swaps are on the third Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center located at 1475 West Gray. And get ready for Telebration, the National Day of Storytelling. And the celebration in Houston has a long and strong history. It will be celebrated on Saturday, November the 21st, at the Black Lab, which in its own right is a Houston institution. Get the facts and details on Telebration and all the events sponsored by the Guild, as well as information about becoming a member at www.houstonstorytellers.org.
Thank you, Jake. I appreciate it. And thanks for the information about Telebration. It is a National Day of Storytelling. It's when we celebrate this magic we call storytelling. And we're going to have a lot more on this annual Day of Magic as the month unfolds, because we've got some great things coming up. But Telebration is really a terrific thing. You go to the Black Lab. They've got great beers and great single malts, if you don't know. But it's a Houston institution in itself and a great venue for storytelling. So as Jacob said, get on www.houstonstorytellers.org. Learn a little bit more about it, and we hope to see you there. Samuel, Chadwick, I want to ask both of you the same question. What bothers you most about the way vets are treated? Now, I know, Samuel, that that is what your story addressed in sort of a prose form, but I want you to really just get raw, get ruthless. Really want you to speak absolutely unconditionally the truth, and because I really want you to know I want us to know what bothers you the most. I know what bothers me, and frankly, it's not anything that's terribly profound, and I think it'd be more profound if you guys said it. So what bothers you the most?
So I was seeing here there's no electioneering, but so there's a political candidate that's out right now, and a quote from them was, if you can't afford to take care of your military personnel when they come home, mm-hmm. you shouldn't send them to war. I totally believe that the vets organization, we have people that just aren't being taken care of.
Yeah.
Because like I said, they've gone out and they've experienced things and they've been exposed to things that, and they've done it to themselves in order to protect the people they left behind.
Right.
But because they've been exposed to those things, that they need to have that additional care. Whenever they come home, because if they don't, then you lead to the alcoholism, the self-medication, right. Yeah. The drug addictions, yeah. The suicides. Mm-hmm. In 2012, there were like five times as many military suicides as there
right?
were
yeah.
People that were killed, personnel yeah. that was killed
there's,
in Iraq.
There's a foundation based on it now, and it's the 22 a day. It's just over every hour a vet from this war commits suicide. It's killed far more of us than war has. Since the beginning of the first Gulf War, it's like 7-1, 8-1. More of us committed suicide than have been killed in combat.
What bothers you the most?
Mine's going to make a lot of people angry, but I'm a disabled vet. It's a hard-charging job, and I do have PTSD, and there's some other problems, but I hate sitting in a classroom and having people be like, oh, this must be easy for you. You get to come here for free.
Yeah.
And there's this little part of me in the back of my head that just wants to, like, grab them by their jaw. And anyway, I'm not going to get in. But it's...
I can understand that. I hear that stuff going on in my own classes. I can understand that. They don't get it.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy for you. You get to come here for free. You don't have to worry about stuff. Right. And I do have to worry. Yeah, I get a stipend for being here. Yeah, I do get benefits. But these are benefits that I signed into contract the United States government to earn. You did not. So you do not get to complain about the fact that I did.
Right.
The option was there for you.
Right.
Pick it up and take it. If you don't want to join the Army, you didn't want to join the Air Force, you could have been in the Coast Guard, you could have worked DOD.
Right.
There were ways for you to have gotten the benefits I have.
Right.
You chose not to do it. So sit down, sit in your seat, shut up, and let me do mine.
No, I hear you. I really do. And I'm not just saying that, I do hear you. You know, there is that that perception that there's some false sense of entitlement that vets have, and there isn't. You know, it isn't. It's something that you deserve. It's something that you earned. It is not just a matter of, hey, you know, I went to the Army, I was in the Navy, so therefore I'm getting all these freebies. It doesn't work that way. I know that.
That's not the way it is. I signed a contract to the time I signed my paperwork getting out, and even then some afterwards because of the IRR and because of reserve time,
right.
I was at beck and call from any number of people who outranked me.
Yeah.
I've missed holidays. I've not seen my family for a year at a time. Mm-hmm. You don't get to tell me that you get something that I have, that I've earned.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah. We had a guest on a couple of months ago. Augie was his name. He works here at KPFT. He's a terrific volunteer, terrific guy. And he wanted to tell the story about his father who landed on Omaha Beach. And it was an amazing story because, you know, it's sort of like watching Saving Private Ryan. But he painted a picture that was really indescribable. And he's a quiet guy. You wouldn't think he'd have anything to say. He sat here and for 10 minutes he totally enraptured us. He mesmerized us. He was talking about his dad, who didn't tell the story about Omaha for 25 years, never really told the story. He asked his dad once, and he said, "Let me tell you, son." And he sat down for 3 hours and told him the story. And Augie was saying, "You know, I learned about my dad for the first time when I was about 30 years old. And I didn't know anything about him before that. I didn't realize the persona, the psyche of a vet. I didn't realize what he was thinking all of these years. He didn't tell me that he was angry at these people. Angry, and not unlike what you guys are talking about. You know, I'm getting something for nothing, right? They're people too. And, you know, I was saying earlier that the government calls World War I the Great War. They're all great wars. They're all great wars. You're in that war. It's a great war. It's a war. Your life is worth something, you know? And it's all really based on that perception. But when he told that story, I just had to share a little bit of that because it was for our 4th of July special, not unlike what we're doing right now. And the theme is always, always the same. You know, we just want people to see us as people. We want people to see us as someone they can befriend. We want them to respect us. We want them to understand us. Frankly, we want them to understand our story. That's why you guys are on. I hope you know that. You're telling your story. And I love that because people need to hear your story. They need to hear it in this kind of a venue. Writer George Orwell made a moving comment on civilians' attitude to the military. This is a good segue. When he said, "People sleep peacefully in their beds at night only because rough men stand steady to do violence on their behalf." And Mark Twain also brought out the tragedy of being in a war. Twain wrote, "Anyone who has ever looked into the glazed eyes of a soldier dying on the battlefield will think hard before starting a war." This is Hank Rubicek, and you are listening to veterans Chadwick Jones and Samuel Swift reminding us of the poignant message that anchors Veterans Day on So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 FM. You guys got any shout-outs? You have any, you know, hot chicks or anybody listening to you, people that matter? What do you got?
Actually, my phone has been blowing up.
I know. I see that. You guys are really pretty popular, huh? That's pretty amazing, yeah.
All right. Sam and Dean are currently sitting on my couch, and they keep taking pictures of my couch and sending it to me, so I've got to say to them. My friend Amber is also blowing up my phone right now. Hi, Amber. Don't send that to me in a snap.
All right, there you go. Something's don't change. Some things just don't change. I like it. Right, that's what you're checking out on the phone. Yeah.
Then
No.
My parents, my grandparents.
I wish people loved me.
God, right. Yeah.
My phone's just sitting here. They ain't doing nothing.
Right. You know, the U.S. Congress recognized the end of World War I when it passed a resolution on June 4th, 1936, whereas it is fitting that the recurring anniversary of this date should be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding. It's not a day to celebrate matches fails, you know, Veterans Day. I added that last line. Listen, we often lose touch with what matters, and my guests, Chadwick Jones and Samuel Swift, solidified in our collective minds the meaning of Veterans Day by revealing their unique narratives. Thank you, guys. Tonight, you continue to serve your country well. We wish you the best and the best. Scooter is up next with the Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. You be good to each other. Until next week, I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. And most importantly, peace.
It's the season for the Pacifica Radio Archives annual National Broadcast Fun Drive. This year, our two-day broadcast beginning on Tuesday, November 17th at 6 a.m. kicks off 10 days of history for the holidays, ending on November 27th, or Black Friday. Consider this alternative to the frenzy and give the gift of knowledge, of history that lasts a lifetime and can be shared with family and friends. We will be presenting historic and inspiring recordings from the collection going back to 1949, including John Lennon, recently